by having all these artists on board for Main Street Country, it's because they actually love to work with us, and also they love the songs that they are covering.
You see the opportunity we have with our fabulous repertoire to bring it to a new generation. It's incredibly exciting.
I wish I had an arena or a stadium full of people that I could just get to do a standing ovation right now. Because this was the highlight of my everything. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. My name is Josiah, and I am so proud to be one of your hosts. On today's episode, we're getting all the details on how Disney Music Group brought a brand new album to life, reimagining beloved Disney tunes with a country twist. Joining me today from Disney Music Group are Director of Artists and Repertoire, Danny, and Director of Marketing, Merrick. Before we jump into the chat, we have a very special challenge for our guests. So here's how this goes. You're going to share your Disney careers in 60 seconds or less to help our listeners get to know you. So we're setting a timer. Each of you are going to take the time to tell us how you came to Disney, your roles, favorite projects, but all under 1 minute. So now here's the fun part. Who wants to go first?
Danny, you go first.
Okay. There you go. He decided I'll go first. Okay. You tell me when to start.
All right. In 3, 2, 1 on you.
Well, I was a professional opera singer before I came to California. Then I moved to California and I got a temp job at Disney. Happened to be in A&R at Walt Disney Records. I had no idea that there was a job called A&R where I got to work with artists and repertoire. And a job was created for me and I never left. And some of my favorite projects, I got to work with Sabrina Carpenter. So I'm really proud of the first record in particular that we did, Eyes Wide Open. I'm also really proud of the first kind of inspired by album where we hired artists to cover songs. That was Nightmare Revisited, where we covered every single song based on the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. And of course, I'd be remiss in not mentioning last year's album, A Whole New Sound, pop punk artists covering classic Disney songs. And Merrick was my partner on that as well.
That's awesome. All right, Merrick, it's on you.
Yeah, my name is Merrick. I work at Disney Music Group. I migrated here when I was 12 years old from the Philippines, and I moved to Burbank. Well, We lived in Burbank as soon as we migrated to the United States, and I've always wanted to work for a movie studio. So I was super excited that I was able to work at the Walt Disney Company. I started my career in 2007 as a data sales analyst and worked my way up into a marketing role, to which where I am now at Disney Music Group. And there's quite a few projects I've worked on being in Disney Music Group in a marketing team, but my favorite project are two. First one is the song Steal the Show from Elemental, sung by Love. That's my favorite because the movie resonated well to me, given as an immigrant who moved here as a teen, and given that movie touched those elements. So that song is really touches my heart and I can definitely relate to. And my second favorite project is what Danny had mentioned, A Whole New Sound. It's just a fun project to work on where we get to work with multiple artists, you know, that people loved, and they were able to cover Disney songs and reimagine it in a new way.
That's awesome. Both of you just with the coolest intros that we've ever heard in life. That's amazing.
just name dropping left and right, you know?
Right, exactly.
Oh, no, it gets worse.
Well, we're excited to jump into all of this. I always like to think about folks who have never really heard of some of these terms before. So A&R, what exactly is that for someone who's never heard of that?
Sure. You know, I'd never heard of it either. To be honest, when I started to do it, it basically stands for artists and repertoire. It's exactly what you would think. And it goes back to when I started. I remember my boss talking about working on, it was called the Mickey Sports Album. And Mickey and Goofy and Donald, they were all going to sing songs about sports. And I came up with the idea of like 50 songs that would be fun for them to cover. And my boss said, well, you just did A&R. And I thought, oh, there's a job. I can get paid to do this. And it sort of started there. So for people that don't know, it literally does mean that. It means getting to work with artists and getting to work with our repertoire.
That's perfect. And then Merrick, on your side, of course, marketing is a very big term. So yes. What does it look like for you in your role?
Yeah, so for like my role in marketing, part of my role is also product management. So, you know, after Danny sources the music, and what my role is basically is to package it up in a big, beautiful box with a red bow. So Danny does all the heavy lifting, and when it's time to kind of serve it to the consumers, that's kind of like my job, to make it look all pretty and presentable. At the same time, since I work in marketing, we also release product, like vinyls or CD. So I also work with our internal team to create packaging for those as well.
Very, very cool. Well, I know everyone is excited to hear from you both about Main Street Country, the new album featuring Disney songs, classic Disney songs, and incredible country artists. So we're not going to make them wait. We're jumping right in. Danny, what can you tell us about the creative process behind developing this album?
Well, you know, it starts with collaborating with our partners at Brand and Franchise, specifically for Mickey and Friends. And a few years ago, we were talking about the fact that Mickey and the gang don't really have a musical identity. There are songs about Mickey. There are certainly our partners at Disney Junior have done a tremendous job in having Mickey and Friends perform. But Mickey and Friends, they like all music. They aren't genre specific. And a few years ago, Merrick and I worked with our franchise team, and we started with Minnie. We could see Minnie studying in college now, for instance. And what would she be listening to? Well, of course, she'd be listening to lo-fi. That's what she would be listening to as she was studying. So together, I curated a list of some of the top lo-fi artists in the world. And we put out 2 volumes of that. Last year, it was really focused on Mickey. And Mickey and Donald and Goofy, they like to go to concerts like the When We Were Young tour. They like pop punk, so then we decided to do that. This year, we decided to delve into country, which we were all really excited about. We hadn't really done anything like that before. And the creative processes, we work with our partners. They have goals. They have demographics they're trying to hit. They want to make sure that it appeals to a broad range of people, not a specific age demographic. Mickey and Friends, their music is for everybody, and they're beloved by everybody. So we came up with a list of potential artists, and then it was my job to start going down the list and seeing who was interested. Did they have time to do it? Could our budget allow for them to do it? Did they have labels that were going to let them do it? And we ended up with the artists that we have. They're artists that are all super passionate about Disney, as passionate as we are. And in terms of the creative process, I never assign a track to an artist. We want them to make it their own. Every person has their own Disney memory. And there is a song, or maybe sometimes a few songs, that really they feel emotionally connected to. We get our best performances from artists when we give them that freedom to pick the song that they really feel they can make their own. We're not really interested in them just covering a song. We want this song to feel like they could have released it. It just happens to be a Disney classic. So with the artists that we have on board, you know, one of our biggest gets was Kane Brown and his beautiful wife, Caitlin. We're really excited about that. And then from there, that sort of built the rest of the record. And I'm very excited to say that everybody who's on board really wants to be on board. They're all huge Disney fans, and they want to work as hard for us as we want to work for them.
That's amazing. And just such a cool way to even view this process, beginning with what would Minnie be listening to and taking it all the way to the full process. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Merrick, on the marketing side, it's pretty unique because this isn't tied to a Walt Disney Studios release like other projects that are promoting awareness through the film, through an album. Correct. So how does that change your team's approach as you begin to plan for the album?
Yeah, I think that piece of it, you know, it can be slightly challenging. You know, normally for a film soundtrack, we rely on the studio to really push for the film and rely on their marketing dollars to bring awareness to the track, given it's part of a larger film. But for this project, given they're really covering catalog Disney songs, just reimagined into a new genre, the challenge really here is to kind of bring that awareness to the listeners out there. So on the marketing side, we really work closely with our partners, including like Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon, and also SiriusXM to bring awareness to the release itself. So we partner with them on placements in a platform. And on the SiriusXM side, we make sure if we can get live performances in their studio to bring awareness to the album itself. So that's definitely a challenge, but you know, challenges is what makes this project fun, right? Because you get to try new things and that you haven't done before to make sure that everyone is aware of this new album release that we have.
That's cool. That's so good. So I know we talked about like the idea, for example, of Minnie listening to lo-fi. And in my mind, there's just this whole meeting of like Goofy has this hip hop trap mixtape somewhere in the vault and all this fun stuff. Somebody does reggaeton.
Oh, franchise, are you listening? That could be the next release.
Exactly. Right? There's so many just amazing genres of music. And so how do we get to country and how do we land on that with deciding where you're going to go?
Yeah, I can take the answer, Danny. Let's go. I think for now, you know, I think for the last few years, we've seen a huge resurgence again in country, and we see a lot of pop artists crossing over into country. You know, one of them, Beyonce. I mean, no explanations needed, right? I know Lady Gaga also kind of touched country a little bit with her Joanne album. We know see Kelly Clarkson also singing more, going to the country lane when she started more as a pop artist. And we also see a lot of country artists crossing over to the other side. You know, we've seen Kane Brown have collaborations with Marshmello, which is more an EDM to it. He also has a lot more collabs with also R&B and rap artists. So we're just seeing a lot more crossover happening, and hence the reason why I think country probably has more of a resurgence because of the fact that, you know, it's, and we hear more country songs being played more on pop stations than we've ever done before.
So good. Danny, I know, you know, you've had a chance, like you said, to interview and work with so many people like Sabrina Carpenter, Jordan Fisher as well. Mm-hmm. You've brought so many of these projects across the finish line with Disney Music Group, ranging from movie soundtrack releases, music from the parks, original Broadway cast recordings. What was the energy like recording this brand new concept album for Disney?
Well, first of all, anytime you get to work with artists, you know, Merrick and I are partners on a lot of our business. So we work on our Disney branded soundtracks together. We work a lot together. And in those cases, the studio is creating the music and then we sort of are bringing it to fruition on a record label. But we don't work directly. Sometimes we do. And I think anytime you get to work with artists, it's really exciting. And then when you're really lucky and you get to actually be in the recording studio with them and you see how much fun they're having and you see the opportunity we have with our fabulous repertoire to bring it to a new generation, it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I think to Danny's point too, you know, I think, and I mean, she always says this to me whenever we try to go out for artists, you know, any artist out there can cover a Disney song. We don't need to go to them and ask them for it. So by having all these artists on board for Main Street Country, it's because they actually love to work with us and also they love the songs that they are covering. And, you know, like a good example would be like the whole new sound Pump Punk album that we did last year. We had the band Magnolia Park do cover of the Goofy song I Twi. You can tell like that is their own, they produced that track to the way their fans want to hear it from them. We didn't tell them how to do it. They delivered a track to us, and Danny and I were like, this is a really good track.
Great track.
And it truly has, you know, their signature of what their sound really is.
Yeah. Man, that's amazing. I bet that's such a cool process to be a part of and to see those things happen.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, that's when we get excited. It's like you're opening a gift on Christmas morning.
That's true.
It's true, right? The first time we get the first pass, it's not finished. It's the rough. And Merrick and I listen to it and we hit play and we're praying it's as good as we think it's going to be. And then when it is, we freak out.
Yeah.
We'll start blasting it around.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone gets sick of us.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The first track we got for this album when you were still planning for it was Breland's Go to Distance.
Yeah.
That song, like when I played it, I was like, wow. It like gave me like chills, just the way his voice sounded, the way the instruments came in at the beginning. You can just feel the emotion in his voice.
Yeah, you can feel the connection he has to that song.
Yeah, Breland loves ESPN. He is like a huge sports fan. Given ESPN is part of our brand, that's another thing that drew him in addition
Absolutely.
To also just loving Disney films, hence why he had covered the Hercules song, Go to Distance.
That's incredible. So yeah, if you're hearing this, you know which song to go to first.
Yes,
make sure you check it out.
If you want to feel motivated, definitely listen to that track.
That's so cool. I always think about the moments that are like they induce the goosebumps, the chills, right?
Yes, so, that's what I felt.
Yeah. At any point during this process, whether it was, you know, the end of being able to listen to this or even in the beginning when this is just a concept and you're feeling this out, what was that goosebumps moment for you where you're like, this is happening, this is real?
Oh, I think for me, you know, when we all talk collaboratively about the artists we wanted, and this isn't part of a film project, so we don't have that kind of money. We're just making a record. And we're making a record to support, you know, our beloved characters. And when they told me they'd like Kane Brown, I looked at them and I thought, oh, I don't think that's going to happen. I'll try. I'll always try. And for me, the goosebump was when I first had a call with the manager. And I had my pitch ready and I took a deep breath and I was ready to sell it to her. And she said, I got it. We're done. I get what you want to do. I'm in. That for me, I did get goosebumps. I think I immediately called you, Merrick, and I said, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. And then, of course, we had the hard part of trying to clear it with the record label, but we were able to do it. So that, for me, that was a goosebump moment, even before I got to hear the song.
Yeah.
I want to stay in this space for a little bit because we often see these larger than life celebrities and musicians. And, you know, sometimes you forget that they're also real people at the end of the day, too.
Yeah,
right? True.
You talked about that moment, right, where they get to settle in and really feel this. And there's a passion that comes out behind that because they know that there's a safe space for them to record and et cetera, et cetera. How do you try to foster that? Because you're also, like you said, you're around Sabrina Carpenter, you're around Jordan Fisher, you're around these people that everyone loves, but they're still humans at the end of the day. How do you try to make sure that we are taking care of you and I just want to have this one-on-one interaction like a normal human being at the end of the day?
Well, I think what helped me is I came here as an artist myself. As I'd mentioned, I was an opera singer before. So when I came to Disney, I was on the other side of it, and I certainly understand the business ramifications of it, but I also understand the artist. So I want to do what's best for them. I want, obviously, to get the best performance for us, but at the end of the day, it's all about respect. You know, even with Sabrina from, you know, I think I signed her when she was 13. She was young. So it was about fostering her and saying, the music you make today is not the music you're going to make, obviously not the music you're going to make when you're 21, but we have to start thinking about what your sound is, being age appropriate, and knowing that the idea as an artist is for you to grow. I think if you approach it that way, you're going to have a really successful release and artists that feel proud to be part of the project.
Yeah,
I go back to A Whole New Sound because that did come out last year. We're still seeing that these artists are performing at Walt Disney World even now, and that they have put the Disney song they did for us into their set. People expect it now. That isn't an ask from us. They want to do it.
Totally agree. I think also, you know, at the end of the day, if you like really take out the label of an artist out of the equation, like you said, like they are just like one of us, right?
Yeah.
They are just Disney fans, like the way we are Disney fans. We grew up at this, you know, we saw the same movies as they did. We listened to the same Disney song as they did. And the one funny story that we had was when Simple Plan performed at D23. It was so great to see that their kids are such Disney fans. They were like true fans, like want to see the Percy Jackson cast, they want to see the Descendants cast, just like anyone at the D23 grounds, right? And just with any type of, you know, work environment, you know, we treat them, like as Danny said, with respect, and also we collaborate on them. It's not just us telling them what we want them to do, it's also hearing from them what they also want to do. Because one good thing that, you know, with partnering with Disney is because, you know, there are so many synergistic opportunities that the company can offer. Like, you know, as I mentioned with the Breland thing, having him work through ESPN, having Kate and Caitlin working through the park performance or even going to the parks is like, you know, a way to help promote the album. I think that's one definitely great strength of this company is all the synergy opportunities that we can offer to an artist.
And I think also they get to be cool to their kids, right? Yeah. I remember Jordan Fisher got to sing a song for, I think it's Happily Ever After at Walt Disney World. And he looked at me and he said, my child is going to be able to go to the park and hear, see the fireworks, hear this music, and know that that's daddy.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, I never thought of it that way, but boy, how impactful is that?
Yeah. Especially, you know, when the song becomes like viral, you know, people like kids start seeing that connection because their friends start talking about it. I mean, not that I'm like, you know, an artist or anything, but, you know, when I worked on Encanto and my 7-year-old knew that I was working on it and people and kids in his class started talking about it. Now he thinks I'm cool because I was working on Encanto soundtrack. It's kind of like that idea of it all. Obviously, not the same.
Sadly, it ends all too quickly, Merrick.
I know.
Well, I can certainly tell you that the work that both of you are doing, if it's not cool to them, it's cool to me. So I'll take that.
Well, sure. You know what? You made our day. Because if we hear it once a day, it's a good week.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. That's perfect. Merrick, you talked about this a little bit, but your team has been working on a lot of uniquely special synergy activations to align with this album release. So what can you tell us about the behind-the-scenes planning that goes into that process?
Yeah, in partnership with the franchise team, who leads the Mickey franchise, they have someone in their team who kind of leads synergy. So we brainstorm ideas on what the opportunities are that we have for the artists. It could be a parks performance with all the artists, securing ESPN activations, you know, given Breland is a huge ESPN fan. And then for other, you know, and on my end, given we work directly with music partners, having the artists go to SiriusXM and do shows. You know, we have a channel on SiriusXM. It's called Disney Hits, Channel 133, for that shameless plug. But we usually have artists perform a song in the studio. One of them would be a song from Main Street Country, and the second would be a song of their choice from their, you know, from their catalog. So it gives them, you know, both opportunities to promote the album and also what they do outside of this project. And with that, we also help promote their songs, you know, across the SiriusXM channels. An example would be the SiriusXM The Highway, given that's their country music station for that platform.
That's very cool. We'll see how this goes. We're going to see. But this could be the easiest question or the toughest question of the day.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Are there any tracks that you're most looking forward to the public seeing and having that reaction to, or any personal favorites?
Oh, there is no way I'm answering that. I don't know if you are, Merrick. I'm excited about all of them. I will tell you, though, this is an EP. And so because of that, we're really excited about each and every track. I do have favorites from other releases. Now I can say it a year later, but I'm certainly not going to say it now because we're excited about each and every one and each and every one of these artists.
Yeah, I agree.
They really brought their all to it.
Yes,
that's what we're excited about.
And I think each artist did their own take, right? So all the covers don't sound the same. They really brought their style into it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like asking, who's your
favorite child?
Exactly. Which my kids ask me every single day. I just say both of you are my favorite. So
that's who's your favorite son?
Yeah, exactly. That's my answer to this question.
So good. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, so before we head out, because both of you are here repping Disney Music Group, I want to play a game of song association. So,
oh God.
One at a time, I'm going to give each of you a word, and you'll give me the first Disney song that pops into your head. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys ready?
Okay.
Is there a buzzer here or no?
No, we'll go one at a time. You'll each get your own.
Oh, got it.
Okay. Oh, no, we should talk over each other and see if we have the same answer.
Okay, so the first word is love. What about you, Danny?
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Merrick, I'm coming to you with dream.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
I see what you did there.
Copycat.
Danny, courage.
Oh, what's that song from Brave? I'll say honor to us all from Mulan.
Yes, yeah. Merrick, destiny.
Huh, that's a tough one. Destiny. I think there is a song titled Destiny from the Cruise Line, right, Danny?
There is.
See?
Nice plug.
Yes. Cruise Line, I'm waiting for my free cruise.
Or it could be Go the Distance, right?
That's true.
Destiny
yes.
to become a hero.
Correct, yeah.
There we go. Okay. Danny, this one is Mystery.
Mystery. We don't talk about Bruno.
Good one.
Oh,
good
that's
one. Yes.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. Merrick, harmony.
Harmony. Oh, this is another hard one.
That is a hard one.
I know. I gave you the hardest question. Like, I have answers for every single thing you gave Danny, and I'm like stuck here.
I can't even think of one.
I think it's a song from Hercules. Is it called Zero to Hero?
Yeah, the Muses.
Yeah, because I don't know, because they're like harmonizing. I don't know. Like
yeah.
The visual of it is that's what I think of. And for some reason, the visual that I see is like the Lizzo video where she kind of copied it.
Yes,
no,
absolutely.
That is a good one. The harmonies, yeah. That's good.
Yes. All right, the last two for this one. Danny, rhythm.
I want to say, does it have to be a song or an album?
You know what? We're going to allow it. Go
Rhythm
with the
of
album.
The Pride Lands. It was our inspired by album for Lion King.
Good one.
Okay. And then Merrick, joy.
Joy. Maybe I'll say Steal the Show from Love. I just love that song. It just brings
it's
joy.
It's a great song.
Every time I hear it, I think like, as I mentioned earlier, that song, and especially the movie Elemental, resonated to me a lot. And it just brings me joy every time I hear that song, and especially how that movie ended. I don't know, it just gives me like chills every time I think of that scene from that movie.
So good.
That's such a great story, Merrick.
Yeah.
Your connection to that film.
Yeah, I mean, I love that movie.
That's a great movie. It is, it's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
Okay, so check this out. I think this was a good warm-up for the final segment.
Okay.
This one is blind ranking. So together, you're going to build a ranking of 5 Disney songs, but you'll only find out the songs one at a time. So you have to figure out what position these go in.
Okay.
So the first one is Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me from Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Where
and
does
is
it
the
fall,
ranking,
1 to 5?
The ranking popularity or how we feel about it?
I think how you
That's
feel
about
it.
That's a good question,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How let's we feel
go,
about it.
Let's
okay.
go with how you feel about it.
Because obviously everybody knows that song, right?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So let's say that 1 is the best, 5 at the bottom. Where are you putting that one for you?
Okay. Oh, you want to know right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're doing,
you're
finding
out.
Without
knowing what the other 4
yeah,
are?
Yeah, that's what makes it difficult.
It's hard to know. I mean, look, it's one of my first memories of Disney because I came to Disneyland from Boston when I was 6 years old and I loved Pirates of the Caribbean. But I'm going to say, Oh, I don't know what's coming. I'm going to say 4.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I think we're doing this together. So do we agree with that, Merrick?
I would say 5 for me.
Yeah, it could have been 5, but I don't know what's coming.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So I've got that 4 and 5. Here we go. Feed the Birds, Mary Poppins.
Oh, 3 for me.
4.
All right. You'll Be in My Heart, Tarzan.
Oh, my God. I mean,
I'm only going to say 5 because I don't
Come
know.
Come on,
what
Danny,
the other,
5.
It's not a 5, but I don't know. Now I feel like I wish I had moved.
That's
know,
what always
down.
Makes this so difficult.
Yeah.
All right, let's say it. No, I'll say 2 because I do love that song.
I'm with Danny. I'm going to give it a 2 because there's 2 more coming, and that could be a number 1 for me. So I'll say 2 for You'll Be in Heart, but I love that song as well.
I love that song, too.
Yeah.
I have a huge Kala in my office. I love that song.
All right, 2 left. The next one is Rainbow Connection, the Muppet movie.
Oh, that's 1 for me. That's
for
a
me,
big one.
Yeah, for me, 3.
Okay, all right. So then the final song for Danny at number 5.
Oh no.
Is How Far I'll Go, Moana. Oh. And at number 1 for Merrick, How Far I'll Go.
See?
I know. I picked poorly. Yes. I did pick poorly.
I have to say that song really stands the test of time.
It does stand. Yeah, and Moana is one of my favorite films.
Same. I mean, maybe not a popular opinion. I think How Far I'll Go better than Let It Go. I don't know.
But do you think it's because Let It Go was so huge and such a phenomenon that we heard it everywhere?
No, I don't know. Like, just something about that song that I just love, especially like the scene, you know, from the film.
Well, I love both those songs.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I never get sick of them.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I mean, I love the Frozen soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, Love Is an Open Door. I love that song, even Frozen 2.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah.
Yes, I do want to build a snowman.
Right.
It doesn't snow in California.
Yes. And also, I had to love Frozen because, you know, they're, is it Bobby or Kristen that's Filipino? Filipino, so, you know.
Yeah, Bobby.
You gotta represent.
It's all about representing Tamara.
Exactly.
There we go. That's perfect. The very, very final question for today, of course, we have to end it this way. Why Disney?
I would say for me, if you love music and you have the privilege of getting to work on all the projects that I get to work on, there's no place in the world that I can think of where I could work on a video game soundtrack or a Broadway musical or a feature film or with an artist. I'm working on country now. We just did pop punk. I've worked on EDM. I mean, there's no genre. There's no type of music I haven't worked on. I cannot think of any other label or any other company where we get to touch everything. The Disney Music Group, no music gets released from this company unless it comes through us because we are the releasing arm for the company. So I can't think of any other company that works that way.
I agree, yeah. Yeah, I think for me, like definitely Disney, you know, we've been around for like 100 years. When you really think of it, for each decade there's always a song that everyone remembers. That remembers and just loves. And just seeing how a music film and the parks touches people's lives, in which they have a deep connection or memory from their childhood, makes me want to work here and see those emotions from people. An example would be, I think a couple of years ago, I haven't really seen the full fireworks show at the parks. And I stayed for the whole show and just seeing people's emotion when the music plays, the fireworks, the projection on the castle. And then as I look around, everyone is just enamored and just staring. I'm like, wow. It's amazing on what joy music and also just the company brings to everyone's lives, you know. Just seeing that emotion makes it worth all the hard work that we do here, not just us, you know, everyone in the company, because everyone's part of that magic. I know it sounds kind of cheesy when you always say, you know, bringing the magic. Honestly,
no, it's true.
I really do. Like, if you step outside and you see how people interact with the brand or their feelings about the brand, we are truly bringing magic into people's lives.
Well, and Merrick, you're a parent. I was a parent, you know, with a young girl when I started here. When you get to see the joy in your children's eyes, and it's the same joy that you had at that age, and you see that it transcends generations, it's a pretty palpable feeling.
I agree.
It's pretty amazing to realize that, and our children are going to share it with their children as well.
Yeah.
It's just such a privilege to be able to work here.
And like, you know, I think we are the only brand that can do that, that kind of passes on through generation, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I grew up watching Disney. I pass it on to my kids. And, you know, and I'm sure they'll also pass it on to their kids as they grow up, just, you know, because we have multiple touch points out there that people can connect to. So, yeah, I think, you know, to what Dan had mentioned, you know, for my one core memory I definitely have with my kids was when we went to the park and we were watching a parade. My son, I think, was 3 or 4. As we were watching a parade and he saw the characters come to life, like his face just lit up and like waving at each character on the parade. And it's just him. I think a lot of kids who goes to the park and experiences that first, you see that type of emotion where they're like waving and smiling and seeing all these characters come to life and just bringing joy. It's just definitely, you know, one thing that the company is really good at and really foster even through all of us.
Yeah. I wish I had an arena or a stadium full of people that I could just get to do a standing ovation right now. Because this was the highlight of my everything. This was amazing. This is true.
Josiah, you are the highlight for us.
Yes.
We wish we could package you, and every day when we're feeling frustrated, you could just come down and say, you two are great.
Yes, absolutely.
But you know what? Since you don't have that stadium or arena, what you can do is to stream the Main Street Country album.
Yes.
By showing us there, love.
And that's why he's in marketing.
Hey, well done. Well done. Thank you both, truly. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for your time.
So
Thank
much.
You. This was fun.
Thank you again for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts to catch our next episode. And if you want to learn more about working at Disney, follow Disney Careers on social media or visit DisneyCareers.com. We'll see you real soon. The Life at Disney podcast is produced by Jaron Kaufman and Sarah Munyer, edited by Brandon Colon, social promo by Hannah Butler, design and graphics by Delaney Regner, music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. A special thanks to the teams at Disney Music Group.